The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, February 12, 2012, at the 8:30 service. The scripture lesson was Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. The sermon was delivered by Elise Russell, and the title of the message was, "You Want Me to Change?"
I share a joy this morning that our guest preacher is Elise Russell. You all know Elise, or I think most of you know Elise. She has been part of our church for many years, and she and her family are going to be taking an adventure of faith here shortly. At the end of this month, they're going to be moving to a place called Brainerd, Minnesota, and she'll be serving in a camp in that area. And Elise has really been through an amazing journey of faith, not just for her whole life, but an intense time in these last several months as she has been prepared to take this step. And so she really has asked for a chance to share what God's doing in her life and to be able to speak to you, her family of faith, as she prepares to take this step. So we'll be welcoming Elise to share this morning's message.
Let's have a word of prayer together. Dear God, thank you for bringing this community of believers here together this morning to worship you. I thank you for giving us the time and the space to do so, for we know there are so many places in the world that that's not possible. Thank you for giving us the freedom of choice to choose to follow you, no matter at times how hard that may seem to be. And I thank you most of all for giving us strength, strength to listen to you and to know you and to serve you in all we say and do. I ask now that you would speak through my story, Lord. Perhaps somebody needs to hear something that is said this morning, and I pray that you would let it be heard. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Old Testament lesson this morning is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. And this is another story about Jacob. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." I wanted to start by sharing the transcript of an actual radio conversation of a U.S. naval ship with Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995, and I promise this does have to do with the sermon. The Americans say, "Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision." The Canadians say, "Recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." The Americans, "This is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course." Canadians, "No, I say again, you divert your course." And the Americans come back with, "This is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship." The Canadian's response, "This is a lighthouse. Your call." Let us not get hung up on the obstinance of the Americans in this story, but let us instead think about the fact that change is hard. As humans, we like comfort and familiar routine, and we also like control. But we were created by and we worship a God who has claimed each one of us, a God who is bigger than anything or anyone we can imagine, who has bigger plans for each of us, if only we will trust. Let's look more closely at the story we just read of Jacob. Jacob was deceptive and manipulative. He stole a birthright, fled to relatives and caused more trouble, and challenged and wrestled with God more than once. But it seems that God honors those who struggle, and struggle Jacob did. As a result, he ended up with a new name, and he ended up with a promise too. Let's look again at the Lord's words to him. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Folks, that is an amazing promise. That is the goodness of God to Jacob and to all of us, no matter what we have done. And that is precisely where I pick up on another story of promise, trust, and calling. Let me share with you my journal entry from November 13, 2011. Today is the day that I drop my nets and follow Jesus. He did not say it would be easy or even enjoyable. He had a sense of urgency, knowing he would die in only a few short years. Yet he loved his disciples and still does. He invited them. They could have said no. But who wants to say no to a loving leader, a healer, a wise speaker, and a caring friend who says, come, follow me? Not I. And so I will go. I will leave behind my home that I have beautified, my garden that I have planted and harvested, my friends that I have made, my community that I am comfortable in, and my family that I am close to. I do not yet know where we will go, but I do know that we, the Russell family, are being called to a new thing. There will be pain, heartache, and sorrow. There will be loneliness and confusion. There will be a transition time, as there is with any change. But Jesus does not bid us go alone. God promised Jacob, I will go with you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. And we walk in the light, with the light, leading us and guiding us, servants of Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Several years ago, my husband Rick and I took a leap of faith. After some career exploration and soul searching, he left his career as an engineer and went back to school for a degree in education. This led to a position at the Detroit Science Center, which he loved dearly. It surprised us at that time how many people said to Rick, I would love to make a change like you are, but I just can't. They would list any number of reasons why they could not change their course. Sadly, the Science Center closed this past fall. It was then that Rick turned to me and said, Elise, perhaps it is time to follow your career now. That was really scary, but that was also empowering. Shortly afterward, I found myself encircled by a wider family of believers at the annual conference of the Presbyterian Church Camp and Conference Association at Moe Ranch in Texas. More than a handful of people, just coincidentally, approached me to share their opinion that I should direct a camp. I could do it, I was told. It was also there that a specific camp and conference center in Minnesota began recruiting me. I began to wonder, me? But why me, Lord, I asked. Sure, I have worked in camp and conference ministry for over 10 years, and I love this ministry of the church. I'm passionate about the impact I've seen on the lives of children and teens and adults. I'm passionate about developing leaders for the church, our communities, and our world. I must admit, I was restless, and I had been for some time. I had fervently tried to listen and seek God's will, but I still found myself questioning, really, God? You want me to change now? Friends, the process of discernment was much harder than I ever realized. It was not simply a matter of applying to a job or making a decision to move to another state. No, it was a long, arduous wrestling match of mind and spirit. And through it all, I was forced to change in another way. I was forced to examine the nature of my heart and realize that while I could change where I lived or what I do each day or even what I thought, it was the change in my heart that God wanted. I no longer wanted to stand by, a passive observer to my life in Christ. This change would hopefully reflect the fact that God has a claim on me. Recently, I've been working through the book, Bold Love. Many of you have signed up for the class that is starting soon. Have fun. What a great read. There are so many nuggets of wisdom within the pages. And the author points out that it is clear that many of us are finding life through soothing the soul rather than struggling with God. Think about it. What does this struggle look like in your life? Now remember, God is good, and God wants to work through each one of us. Here is one of my favorite quotes from the book. I am possessed by a God who will neither tolerate tepid indifference nor lukewarm piety. He wants my heart. Tepid indifference, lukewarm piety. Those are hard things to think about. But where is your heart? The author also reminds us that the gospel does not settle for moral good living. It requires radical transformation of the heart. Are you ready for radical transformation? But let me continue the story I began earlier. After more heart-wrenching struggle, I applied to Presbyterian Clearwater Forest, a 1,000-acre year-round camp and conference center in the Brainerd Lakes area in Minnesota. I was still questioning and seeking, but at that time I found myself saying, I'm afraid I'll stay out of fear. Fear. How real is that to each one of us? Think about fears you might have. Mine typically includes some kind of change, and here I was faced with the hardest change of all, my heart. The cost involved was great. I had to step forward in trust, but I knew the rewards would be greater. I was clearly being called to face my fears, and so we accepted the offer to fly to Clearwater Forest for an interview. My journal entry from December 1st, 2011. As I was running this morning, I heard Jesus speak to me. A little unnerving, but still the same, he spoke. Jesus said, "Walk out to me, Elise." "Really?" I said, "on the water?" And Jesus said, "Yes, on the water. Walk out." "You are asking me to walk on the water to you, Lord." And Jesus said, "Yes, trust me and walk out." I said, "I'm not ready. I can't." And Jesus clearly said, "I have prepared you for this up to this moment with everything you've been through. You can do it." Jeremiah 31:3 was part of my scripture that day. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." We see this faithfulness in the story from the Gospel of Matthew, which Pastor Brian read earlier this morning. Peter implores Jesus to tell him to come out on the water to him, and Jesus simply says, "Come." But what happens after Peter climbs out of the boat and is on the water and he sees the wind? He doubts. He loses the trust that he had only seconds earlier as he removed himself from the comfort of the boat. He caves into fear and forgets the faith he had when he said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." Of course, Jesus reaches out his hand and saves Peter. God is good. God is here for each one of us. God bids us come, and we must only trust and go, weathering the change. Think about your life. Are there areas that need change? Maybe this involves your career, your relationships, your stewardship of time or your money, your education or your faith journey. Friends, I have climbed out of the boat, but to be perfectly honest, some days I'm clinging to the side in fear and desperation, scared of what is to come. I do know that God has prepared me for the sending, and I do know that Jesus is holding my hand by my side, ready to go with me wherever I go. I find great consolation in the fact that we are also held by something else, a community of believers. Whether that community for you is 2 or 200, your spiritual family is strong and supportive. God has grabbed hold of me through a wider family, a great cloud of witnesses, so to speak. There are those that have encouraged me and advised me. There are those who have prayed for me and with me. There are those who have challenged me to rethink the big pieces of my life, including calling, the definition of family, personal fulfillment, spiritual gifts, and joy. There are those who have listened to me and counseled me, and there are those who simply love me. I have learned to lean on all of these saints, for the boat that I climbed out of was a very, very hard boat to exit. But through it all, I've recognized that it is God who has the biggest claim on me, not anyone or anything else. At the 11 o'clock service, I'm going to share with the children the first two questions of the first catechism. And this is what they are. Question number one, who are you? And the answer is, I am a child of God. Question number two is, what does it mean to be a child of God? And the answer is that I belong to a God who loves me. Nothing more, nothing less. Wow. My journal entry from December 20th, 2011. After my interview was over at Clearwater Forest, I found Rick walking out on the ice. Clearwater Lake was frozen solid 8 inches. I was a tiny bit hesitant to venture out on the ice. It was so clear you could see right through it to the sand and rocks and branches below, but I went out. We walked on the water of the lake. It was so peaceful and beautiful in the sunshine. I am at peace, finally. I am not saying this will be easy. I have wrestled, fist-fought, deliberated, and cried. I cried out to God and at God last night. I have wondered, what is the answer? But yesterday's scripture was from Isaiah chapter 30. This is the way. Walk in it. It is time now. It is time to go. It is time for a new opportunity that I may not have again. It is time to build skills to do what God is calling me to do, enable camp and conference ministry in a broader picture. Change is hard and painful, but I know it can be healthy. In the third chapter of Mark, we read about Jesus naming his apostles. And he appointed 12, whom he also named to be apostles, to have authority. Appointment and authorization are words we usually think about being associated with a new job or a job description. But we are sent. Jesus appointed and authorized 12, whom he then called by name to go out and speak his message. They mostly had on-the-job training for a very new job, being apostles. We too are called to be disciples turned apostles. We too are sent out to do things we don't know how to do. We are appointed and authorized in the same way the original uneducated disciples turned into apostles. We only have to remember the word apostate to understand the word apostle. An apostate is one who gets it all wrong. An apostle is one who gets it kind of right. Imagine the trust of Jesus in his people, which is to say us. He imagines we can get it right. He imagines we can do things we don't know how to do. I want you to know that I am humbled to think that I've heard God. I am humbled to serve God, and I'm humbled to belong to God. This is not a story to say that I am better or that I've done the right thing by getting out of the boat, but hopefully in some way I'm honoring God by what I'm choosing to do, and I'm humbled to share my story with you today. Let us remember that God is amazing. God is working in each of our lives, and my challenge to you today is to think about areas that might need change in your life. What are you doing to allow God to work in your life, affecting change in your heart? You might be thinking you can't. We can always find a reason not to follow or a barrier to change. But as a good friend reminded me, after all Christ suffered, who am I to think that my life should be easy? Jesus put out his hand and simply said, come, meaning step out of the boat. and God has given us strength to face our every fear. I am grateful for the opportunity to share the story that I shared with you today because it is testimony to this. I belong to a good and loving God, and so do you, my friends. So do you. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.